Big Talk Nation, welcome to Big Talk is Jericho.
Yeah, now we're talking.
And welcome to another episode of the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. This is Chris.
This is Greg.
And this is our special third annual WrestleMania episode-ish kind of thing. This year we're going to do a little twist on it. We usually talk about WrestleManias. Well, we're going to talk about WrestleManias, but this year, Greg, what are we doing this year?
This year we're doing intercontinental matches.
That's the best. That's right.
The best of the best.
The best of the best intercontinental matches in WrestleMania history.
And a few worse ones, too.
And we didn't go over our lists. We debated and debated and debated, debated. So much so that both of us are master debaters at this point.
Yeah, master debaters. Yeah, okay, Chris.
And
then sometimes we don't talk to each other till we're recording the episode. Yeah. So we look at each other. What'd you talk about?
So this is really gonna be a wing it thing, because we don't know what's on each other's list, which we usually don't sometimes. But you know what I got here?
Oh yeah,
right
yeah,
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Check it out. And if you guys want a sneak peek, maybe you can pause the video. Here's my list.
This is half my list.
Right there is my list. if you're on YouTube, you could have paused it and seen my whole list. And you know what? I told myself I was going to make some edits here. So if you just paused it, you're not going to get the edits, because I forgot to make the edits. So the list is not the same. But basically what we're going to do here, guys, is we're going to go down and we're going to talk about the greatest intercontinental matches in WrestleMania history. And I guarantee you, we are going to argue and you are going to not like some of our choices. But you know what? That's what it's all about.
Wait a minute. There's 40 WrestleManias. We're talking about 40 matches?
There's not 40 matches. I believe 21. Is there 21?
There's 21.
21 matches. But yes, I have it all listed here.
Yeah,
from
listed too.
39-1.
All right.
So I know that we kind of I went full in. I put on my scuba gear, a deep dive. I watched every single intercontinental match from WrestleMania, all of them.
And you loved them all.
All
of them are number one.
They are. It was a 40-way tie, even the ones that didn't have a match. It was a 40-way tie. Yeah, man, there was a lot of shit.
So some of these matches are short.
Some of them are short.
And some are long.
Some of them are long. Some of them are sweet. And some of them are not so sweet. And we're definitely going to disagree. We did a brief discussion. I already know we're disagreeing on a couple of these. And we're definitely going to disagree with the nation. But you know what? I don't give a shit. Because you know what? It's our damn podcast.
Can you shut up and talk about WrestleMania? Are we doing the top 10, top 20, you know, top 22?
I am first off, you know, we did earlier. I'm just going to run quick through my 39 through, well, I'll stop at 13. And then we can go from there. Number 39, WrestleMania 25. Rey Mysterio versus JBL. A 21-second match. Garbage. Worse match in intercontinental history.
I'm going to agree with you on that one.
Number 38, WrestleMania 29, The Miz and Wade Barrett. It was a dark match. It was on the pre-show. I'm still counting it, but you know what?
Yeah.
It was better than 21 seconds, but it's still trash. Now here's where it gets interesting. Greg. 37, 36, 30. Oh, wait, let me go the other way. 26th through 37. WrestleMania 12, 19, 20, 21, 23, 22. Sorry, I skipped 22. 24, and so did they. 26, 27, 30, 33, and 38. No match. No intercontinental title matches on those WrestleMania. So that brings us to 25. WrestleMania 4, Brutus Beefcake against Honky Tonk Trash. WrestleMania 24, Junkyard Dog, Valentine. Garbage. That's WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
Number 23, WrestleMania 2, Savage versus Steel. It was just a bad match. George Animal Steel was garbage. He had a gimmick.
It was entertainment.
This is the start of the difference. I go from looking at things, how was the wrestling match?
Okay.
I don't give a crap if a guy's got a gimmick and he can run around with a blue tongue and bite turnbuckles. Dude, I need a match. Garbage. Number 22, WrestleMania 28, Cody Rhodes and The Big Show. I thought that was a garbage match. Yeah,
me too.
I think that one's right there. I think that's a perfect spot. It was the best of the worst.
Yeah.
Or worst of the best.
Worst of the best.
I watched this one last night or two nights ago. Number 21, WrestleMania 36, Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn. This was a match that was during the COVID empty arena days. I couldn't get behind it. I couldn't get in it. Yeah. I didn't think it was that great at all anyways. Number 20, WrestleMania 15, Road Dogg, Goldust, Shamrock, and Val Venus. Hello, ladies. I thought this match had huge potential.
Exactly, because all of them are great mid-carders.
Yeah, they were all great mid-carders, which is kind of what the Intercontinental title is. It at times gets pushed to the top of the card, but it's a working man's title.
Yes, it's a working man's title.
And those guys, they had a potential there, and it just fell flat. My 19th ranked WrestleMania Intercontinental match of all time, WrestleMania 35, Finn Balor versus Lashley. It just did not do it for me. I know it was the
Yeah, I think I liked it because I was so into Finn Balor at that time. I thought it was more of a David and Goliath. Like, you're thinking this small little thing.
Yeah, the match was only like 5 minutes, and it's like, really? We're building Lashley? Is this like, it didn't get me. Balor's intro as the demon was the best part of the whole match. Got I'll tell you that. Here is where the controversy starts. Controversy. My 18th ranked WrestleMania Intercontinental match of all time. WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan versus The Ultimate Warrior. I have it ranked number 18. And most people have it in their top 10. Like, it's in there. It's like an automatic. I know you have it in your top 10. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this right now, guys. I was so unsure of myself putting it 17 after everything. So I did my list, and after... Okay, rewind. I went and I looked at some lists, some top 10 lists, and I said, I don't agree with these. So I went and said, well, what's the worst matches? Well, some of these worst matches some people had on their lists were actually, I thought, were pretty good. So I said, you know what? Stop looking at these lists. Don't look at it anymore. Just go watch them all. So what I did was, is I watched each one, starting at WrestleMania 1, and I ranked them as I went. And this match, Hogan and Warrior from WrestleMania 6, it just kept pushed further and further. So today, before our show, hours ago, I was like, you know what? I got to watch this match again. I just got to make sure. Sure enough, dude, I am absolutely correct. It is right where it needs to be. And I'm going to tell you why right now. As much as you may have loved this match when you were a 10-year-old boy, it does not hold up well. 6 minutes into the match, they're still doing tests of strength. 8 minutes into the match, Hogan is thrown on the floor. The Warrior goes out and kicks him 3 times in the leg. Minutes after that, they're doing headlocks and reverse chin locks. It takes like 15 minutes for when they start doing when they're going off opposite ropes and shit. And it's like, this is horrible. This is not a wrestling match. The thing about Hogan is he was always wrestling the better wrestler. And Ultimate Warrior's best matches are always against the better wrestler, the Rudes, the Macho Mans. Who was supposed to carry this match? Because neither of them did.
Right.
It was just the excitement of the moment. I really compare it to the Hogan-Andre from WrestleMania 3. Horrible match, but had huge implications and was the headlining match. But this match is terrible as a match, as a wrestling match, and that's how I looked at all these, and it's terrible, terrible, terrible.
All right. Let me tell you, you're right about that. And thank you for saying about a 10-year-old boy, because you're right. That's what I thought about at the time. You got the Ultimate Warrior and you got Hulk Hogan, two big mega stars. What it was for, do you remember what it was for? Title for title.
Yeah, title for title.
That was the first time they've ever had, as far as I know, a match title for title in a WrestleMania. You're thinking, oh my God, the IC champ versus the world champ. Who's going to come out? Who's going to win? And the crowd through the whole thing was 50-50. Mm-hmm. People were cheering for the Warrior. People were cheering for Hogan. People were cheering for the Warrior. What was the big story at the end of it? You needed to push Warrior.
Yeah.
And that's what that match came out to be.
Yeah, exactly. But the match wasn't that good.
So what? I was 10.
Yeah, but you're not 10 anymore.
I am. I'm still 10.
Times five. I just cannot get behind that match as a good match. I just can't. I can't do it. And I will forever... I understand how people's point of view may be like, oh man, when it, yeah, when?
When?
But you know what?
When, dude?
What about all these other matches I have on my list? When? When they came out. I mean, why not say it? All right, here, let's go. Sorry, dude, I'm taking up a lot of time, but I don't care. It's number 17, WrestleMania 14, The Rock versus Shamrock. I thought it was a good match.
Ah.
The ending got reversed because Shamrock wouldn't release the ankle lock.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised at how good of a match it was. Ranked number 16 on my list, WrestleMania 34, The Miz versus Balor versus Seth. We talked about this match earlier today. Too much hokiness. And when I mean hokiness, I'm talking about the guy in your shirt.
Oh, yeah.
This, the big moves. Ooh, like, I got to load up to hit you. There's no crispness. There's no snappiness to the match. It had The Miz and Seth, who were both big time on that. Balor was the only good thing about that match. Anything you want to say?
No.
You can tell me. You just tell me to stop whenever you want me to stop.
No. I want you to continue. So I can talk.
Number 15, WrestleMania 11, Razor Ramon, the bad guy.
Oh.
Against JJ, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. And I even wrote here in my notes, I was surprised at how good this match was because I am a JJ, Jeff Jarrett hater.
Okay.
I don't ever think he's, I just don't, he thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. And he's not even a loaf. You know, but I was surprised. I was like, wow, this is a good match. Wow. So for me to put it that high says something. I'm almost out of breath. Okay. Number 14 was WrestleMania 13, Rocky Maivia, before he was The Rock, versus The Sultan. And some people might be like, that match was trash. The best thing about this match is the third player in the match, and that's commentary.
Oh,
Honky
yeah.
Tonk Man
yeah.
was so good. I mean, he was just, he was bashing these guys left and right, and just the shit he was talking was just great, and it made me laugh the whole match. The match was not terrible, but the commentary just made it.
Correct.
Brought it up a notch. And my 13th ranked one is WrestleMania 31. It was the ladder match. This is the Santa Clara. This is the one that we went to up in San Francisco with Daniel Bryan one. I just thought it was too predictable.
Yeah,
predictable. The high spots were too predictable. It's like one guy jumps onto another guy outside the ring. Then here comes the third guy. Then here comes the fourth guy. Then here comes the fifth guy. Then here comes the sixth guy. Oh, but here comes Dean Ambrose, crazy Ambrose, jumping off the ladder.
Now, okay. Before you move on, let me say all the players at that, because I do like this, and I have this ranked for me at number 10.
Okay.
WrestleMania 31, a seven-man Intercontinental match, ladder match. Wade Barrett was the champion at the time.
Yep.
Right,
and see, I love Wade Barrett. I think he's such a guy that should have been bigger.
And when he was in Nexus as the leader, he showed me something.
He had charisma. He had it all.
He did. Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, Luke Harper, Daniel Bryan, and R-Truth were all in that match that came out. It was the first. It was the first match of WrestleMania 31, but I thought all those players were good. No one was stupid. And it worked out. I thought it worked out. I thought it was good. I was surprised. Daniel won. So what happened was in WrestleMania 30, Daniel won the World Heavyweight Champion. Mm-hmm. And in 31, here he is starting off winning the Intercontinental.
Yep.
So how a rising star, you know, he went to the top. And what does he do? He goes right back down and starts up again. So
he is only a B-plus player.
I never thought of him that way. I never thought he was a B plus player because of his wrestling ability.
Oh, he in
his charisma.
I will say this: in recent history, as far as in ring ability, he's in that top 10 easily in the last 10 years. But I'm saying as a match as a whole, it just didn't do it for me at all.
I guess I liked it because of the players that were in it. I was into Dean. I was into Dolph. I was into Daniel Bryan, and I was into R-Truth. So.
Was there anybody in there you weren't into?
Yeah, Luke. I was
who
crazy.
Had and Luke, who ended up being champ before before he passed away. You know, he was actually a pretty good wrestler. I mean, you know. All right, let's go. Let me grab my paper here again. Number 12. This is the last. Is this the last one? No, there was one. 39. So we're gonna go right here. 37. WrestleMania 37. Big E versus Cruz. And that was that Nigerian drum match.
Right.
I thought it was going to be trash and garbage. Dude, the intensity in that match just made me, like, I was like, wow. I don't remember even watching this match, and I was like, this is a fucking good match.
Did that start off WrestleMania, or was it like in the middle? Do you remember how much time you...
I don't think it started off WrestleMania.
Because sometimes starting off, you're like, oh my God, it started off this. And some of these Intercontinental matches started off WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and they were, to me, a big hit. Like, oh my God, it started off good. All right, match one, over, good. Belt change hands or didn't change hands. Somebody did this, somebody did that. I loved it. Start off.
Go. I don't know how much higher you want to go. I'm at number 11. You want me to keep going? Okay. Yeah. Number 11, WrestleMania 32, the ladder match, the one that Broski won.
Correct.
I thought it was way better than the one from the year before.
I did too, and I have that as number 9.
So you have your ladder matches back to back.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, 10 and 9 is back to back. Back to back.
Yeah, and the big Zack Ryder ending was such a surprise because you didn't think this guy was going to win it, and he won it, and the crowd was into it, and I totally loved it. There was a lot of energy from that match. You know, the players of that one, Kevin Owens had the belt. Sami Zayn was in there, Stardust again. Of course, Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Sin Cara, they were all into it. They were all good. All of them had a good stuff. And with Zack Ryder winning it, it was totally a surprise because someone, either Kevin would have, I wanted, or somebody who we liked was a Ziggler who could really elevate that championship.
Ziggler is one of my favorites. Yeah. And this just shows 2 years in a row where he was used. He was the last guy. He was at the top of the ladder with the guy that won each time and the last one to get kind of, not eliminated, but battling for the belt. Yeah. 2 years in a row, he was a guy that put a lot of people over.
Didn't we talk about when he wrestles, he elevates people?
Yeah, but sometimes you got to elevate the elevator. And he never
got... They did a few times.
They threw him crumbs. He never got what he deserved. Ziggler was the most underused wrestler.
I don't know. I think they used him good and they used him well.
Okay, he should have been champ like longer or more often. Do something because he's one of the best wrestlers on your... He's in that top 10 of the last 10 years, easy. 10.
And even when he was tech team partner with other people, those two guys really knew how to elevate people and move on. Are you right on should he have been a better used wrestler? But I liked him for it, and I didn't hate him, and I thought he was good for what his role was. Maybe he knew his role, Chris.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, now he's champ.
Okay.
All right, let's go. So here we go, top 10.
All right.
So you've already said your top 10 was WrestleMania 31 ladder.
Yeah.
And then number 39. 9 was number 32.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my number 10 was WrestleMania 39, Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew at number 10. Reason this wasn't higher, some people think it's great. I love the Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre aspect of this match. I think that was the best part of the match. When Gunther was in there, there was too much chopping, too much of that kind of stuff. He disappeared in the last 5 minutes of the match, only to appear to win it, which I know is part of a three-way match.
Yeah.
I get it. That's part of it. I just would have liked to have seen more of all three of them in there and maybe even some double teaming in fact of something like that.
But these are big meaty guys, man.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Two-on-ones. Dude, teaming up together against the other one, that could have been for some dynamic, big-time, big moves. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that. However, despite all that, I think the match was really good. Gunther coming out the winner is great. He has raised – I'm not a big fan of his, but as long as he's held the title, it's definitely raised that Intercontinental title up because it was way down before he – it was down. It was down.
Yeah.
And it's been down for a long time. And he's definitely elevated it to a working man's title. This guy's the next in line. This is a prestigious belt to hold. And I think every wrestler that's ever wrestled has wanted the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go. Go ahead.
Before you go on to the next one, that was my number 8 on my list, right? But I am looking forward to WrestleMania 40, which will be, you know, hitting in a couple of days. Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not driving me crazy, but at least Gunther is champion again, you know, and he's defending it, the belt.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You know, last year he did a three-way. This way he's just doing a one-on-one. Sounds good. Hopefully it's a good match. There's story in it, and let's see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I can't realistically, like really like see Sammy winning that without some kind of interference from the outside. It's got to be a 2-on-1 situation,
right?
You know, the dusty finish, if you will. Something's gonna happen where it's just gonna, it's not gonna fall in Gunther's favor if he loses. All right. So number 9. So you've already gotten your number 9 and your number 8. My number 9. Jericho versus Regal from WrestleMania 17.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking, man. That's on my list, too.
This, obviously.
WrestleMania 17,
I think,
right?
Almost the rest of these will be on your list. Probably the only one, obviously, is the Hogan Warrior, because that'll be in your top 10, and mine's not. Yeah. So you're going to have something in yours that's not in mine. Jericho, Regal, dude. And Regal, this is, Regal will appear later on this list, and so will Jericho. They're on here twice. But Regal is... He's in that, for me, that echelon of Bret Hart, where he can wrestle anybody, make anybody look good while still looking like it's effortless. He wrestles just his style. He can fit it with anybody. He's just so good and underrated.
Isn't that the UK style wrestling, like UK strong style? Same thing like Gunther. He came from the UK and wrestles a certain way. Same thing. William Regal does.
No, I don't think that. I think Gunther is 20 times more stiff than Regal ever was. And let's stop talking about Gunther. Who cares? We're talking about Jericho and we're talking about Regal, two of the greatest of all time. This is a great match. Styles that are so different. And, you know, both of these guys, I mean, Regal, who would have thought, right? I mean, in this match, and Jericho just being Jericho.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? WrestleMania 17. I mean, this was the first match.
Yeah, first match of the night.
What many people regard as the greatest WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 17, with the Stone Cold and The Rock headlining, obviously. Love it, dude. Love it.
Yeah, good match. I even liked how they set it up where Regal was the commissioner and Jericho was being the erratic employee. And you know, I think they even, at the time, I think this is sort of the Attitude Era, and they even had it where, in the sense where Jericho, you know, urinated in his tea, and they were kind of like, you know, making a fun of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jericho, he's trying to make it harder. It went back and forth, so I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. You're right. It was the start of the Attitude Era, and good match.
And Jericho was the champ he did retain. I think it's important to say
that
he
is
was
correct.
The champ he did retain.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you already say what your number 8 was? I think you did.
I said my 8 was Drew, Gunther, and Sheamus.
Okay. My number 8, Rick Rude versus the Ultimate Warrior. I thought this was head and shoulders above the Hogan.
Exactly.
Warrior match. And I'm going to tell you this. That's why
exactly.
They needed that other guy that could actually wrestle to carry the match. And Rick Rude is one of those guys that everybody talks about. Oh, yeah, Rick Rude. But no one ever thinks about Rick Rude was one fucking hell of a wrestler.
Yes.
And he carried this match. And this was such a – I loved it, dude. I don't remember – I can't remember the last time I watched this match. So it was almost like the first time. You know, a lot of these, you know, we haven't watched in forever. What is this? WrestleMania 5, that was what, 1988? Right. I can't remember the last time I watched this match. I'm not seeking out Rick Rude versus the Warrior. So much fun to watch. I loved it, dude.
I thought it was great. The Warrior started off very explosive, you know, offense, and he just was throwing Rude around left, right, and then you saw the tables turning. You know, Warrior is one of those guys very similar to Goldberg that if the match goes on more than 2 or 5 minutes, he's already losing a lot of gas. But I did like it, and it ended very well. I think Rick Rude won. He won the title.
Yep, he won the title.
And you know, and Rick Rude always came out with those fucking awesome pants. I think he had like the belt painted, like in his crotch area, and had the Warrior on the back
of
his
ass.
I mean, and Bobby Heenan did help. Rick Rude win, but still, manager stuff, it happens.
You got Bobby Heenan's out there for a title match. You know something. He's going to get involved at some point, and that is that extra wrinkle of being a heel is if you have that manager, you know something's going to happen. Love it.
Good stuff.
Go ahead.
That was actually number 5 for me.
All right. Okay, number 7. WrestleMania 7. Mr. Perfect versus the Big Boss Man.
Oh, shit. You had that in there?
I have it in there, dude. And God, dude.
I didn't.
So this is a time where perfect. This was the whole when U.S. was invaded. This was the Slaughter Hogan.
Yeah.
WrestleMania.
Yes. Yes.
And this is when you know, Kurt Hennig was a lot. You know, he was with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of when Bossman was had a little kind of little face run going on with him. And even though he still had the Confederate flag on his. A policeman's jersey or his policeman's uniform that he would wear. But man, I was pleasantly surprised by this match. Kurt Hennig, the big boss, what's his name? Robert Traylor, I think is his name. Wow. I what a great match. And of course, with Mr. Perfect, you're going to, Kurt Hennig is just going to be one of the underrated, one of the greats of all time, one of the great Intercontinental champions. Great match. Held my attention the whole time, all the way from the beginning when they did their little promos at the beginning. I was just like, oh, I can't wait. Like I felt the way that you felt when you were 10 years old watching Hogan Warrior. It made me go back and be like, oh, I can't wait.
Because Perfect was that type of wrestler to make you be like, this guy, he may not be heavyweight, he's still doing them, but he's a great wrestler.
Yeah, and Big Boss Man had Andre the Giant come out with him too. So another wrinkle in there. And you know, and Mr. Perfect with Heenan were smarmy enough for even if you didn't like Big Boss Man, they made you like Big Boss Man. And he won the title from Hennig. Hennig dropped the title to him during that match. But man, the great match, a surprise. I mean, some of these matches, you knew they were going to be garbage, but some of them were surprise garbage, and some of them were like, this is one that just made me say, wow, this was really, really good.
Yeah.
Go back and watch it, guys. WrestleMania 7, that's my number 7.
I'm going to have to do that, maybe not tonight, but maybe tomorrow night. Yeah. Check that out, man, because you're giving me explosive. I kind of didn't even write it down, but I'll take a look
at it. You should put it on your phone while you're driving home. Okay. Number 6 for me. Bret the Hitman Hart versus Rowdy Roddy Piper from WrestleMania 8.
Damn, that was a match.
Yes.
That was a great match. You had Bret Hart and Piper, and you know, they were both faces.
Yep.
So who are you cheering for? Who are you booing? You didn't want to do either one, and they all had that intensity and look in the eye when they both came to the ring. They all had that look in the eye. Like, you want to look at me? No, I'm going to look at you. You want to look at me? The crowd split in the middle, and you're like, oh, my God, Piper. Oh, my God, Bret Hart. And this was before Bret Hart became the megastar Bret Hart. But still, Bret Hart was throwing matches down as a singles wrestler.
Yeah, this was – yeah. And this showed me – because I know for a long time, Piper is just seen as like, whoa. Hold on.
Oops. Technical difficulties. Sorry.
There we go.
Little to the left, little to right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks.
It's all right. There we go. All right. Greg, I don't know. Greg was getting higgity jibbity bibbity over there.
I'm all fired up. Piper, man. I got my skirt on.
This was a time when I still saw Piper as just a heel with no need to really show a lot of wrestling ability. He was in WrestleMania 1 as a tag team match. He was in WrestleMania 2 in a boxing match with Mr. T. I just really never saw him. And this showed me, even in WrestleMania 3 when he wrestled Adrian Adonis, it wasn't like a huge wrestling match. But this right here showed the world how great Bret Hart was, how good Piper could be, and how good they could be together. This was a really, really solid match. There's nothing bad I have to say about it. I went away with it with a great taste in my mouth. I loved it.
I thought it was a great match too. Great Intercontinental match. Sounds great, man.
Number 5. So is there anything in your top 5 so far that I have mentioned? Or is everything no? I think we might have the same top 5.
Well, I had at 5 Jericho versus Regal.
Okay. All right.
6, I had the Piper versus Bret Hart.
Okay.
And then 7, I had the Warrior and Hogan. That's where I was with that one.
Okay. And 8?
We're going to talk about eight.
Eight is great. Let's go. Come on.
No, I talked about eight already.
Come on, Greg. Let's go.
Eight was Drew and Gunther and stuff like that.
And then you had ladder. So now we're in top five.
Yeah.
So number five. What do you have for number five? Well, do you just want to say what our number one and two are? Or do you want to hold people in suspense?
No, hold people in suspense.
Okay. Go ahead with your number five.
Oh, my five was Jericho and Regal.
Okay.
My four was Regal and Rob Van Dam.
And what do you have that at?
Number four. Oh. WrestleMania 18, Rob Van Dam, Mr. Monday Night Raw versus William Regal. And we had William Regal on the, and I had him at number five.
Yep.
So I was cool, man. I was very surprised. I loved it when Regal faced Jericho. I loved it when he faced RVD. And this was RVD's first WrestleMania.
Yeah, this opened up WrestleMania. What was it? 18, Regal Van Dam. Same kind of thing. Regal adapting his style to another person. And it just, he cut his lip, so he had the blood. And so it just made it that much better. I have this at number four also. You have it at number four. Mm-hmm. Great match. I watched it again today just to make sure I had it where I wanted to put it. And I go, yes, this is right where it needs to be. And obviously I was somewhat correct because you have it in basically the same place I do. Yeah. Number four, Regal Van Dam from WrestleMania 18. Van Dam taking the title, the start of his amazing run through WWF. And man, great intro at his WrestleMania, or great debut at WrestleMania. Yeah. I loved it, man. It was great.
You know, the commentary said, oh my God, we're at, 67,000 people. Rob Van Dam has not wrestled in front of more than maybe 8,000 people before.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like, I mean, imagine someone coming in, or someone who's in the minor league of baseball and coming in to, you know, a stadium. You're like, oh shit, look at all these people here. Here's 55,000 when I would pay, you know, 1,500 or whatever. So that was it. And I loved Van Dam. All the ECW guys I loved. So Van Dam was one of these guys I was cheering for. Basically, Chris, when we talk about this, I remember who's my favorite, who I yelled for, who I was upset about, and all this kind of stuff. I loved it, man. This was great, man.
Now, here's where stuff for me and you is getting interesting on our countdowns. Because I haven't said who my number five is yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we went to number four. But we haven't said who number three is yet. So one of these two is not on your list.
Okay.
Who is your, I just want, just for curiosity's sake, who's your number three?
Number three for me is WrestleMania 2000 or WrestleMania 16, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit.
I have the same match at number three.
Right?
That WrestleMania 2000. And I know it was for Intercontinental first fall. Yeah. And then European.
Then European the second one.
I tried as hard as I could to separate the two, but obviously you're going to watch the whole thing. But even that is how you do a three-way dance.
Whoa.
Those three. Did you notice how snappy, how good it was? Just, I mean, everything that's happened, God rest their soul, but Benoit was one of the greats of that era. I will say it forever. And I understand that what he did wasn't necessarily his fault. He had a lot of injuries, brain injuries, all that kind of stuff. But man, that guy could work in the ring.
Hell,
Jericho could work in the ring. And Angle. These are three of the greatest of all time in one match. And this was one of the greats.
So when I saw that in there, and I was like, I don't remember this. And I watched it, and it was, Chris, in Anaheim, California.
Oh, yeah.
at the pond. Or they call it the Honda Center now. But I remember that. Like, oh my God, I forgot that what the WrestleMania was. And it came out, and I was watching the match, and I was like, wow, all three of these guys, and all these guys are not jokes. They can wrestle. They can go for a long time. And it was fun, exciting. And you're right, on the triple threat, one match was this, one match was that. One person can walk out with two belts. One person can walk out with one belt, one loser. Or, you know, Angle retains both, and he still has both belts. Loved it. Thought it was a great, excellent match on this kind of stuff. It was beautiful.
Yeah, man. I agree with you 100%.
Beautiful. 100%.
So now let's go back, now that we've kind of established. I mean, me and you have the same four. We have the same number three. Here's my number five. And I had to watch this match also again today just to be sure that I had it in the right spot. And I am 100% convinced that it's in the right spot. The opening match from the worst WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 9. Tatanka versus the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels for the Intercontinental title.
Ooh, that's funny.
Tatanka comes out with Sherry. HBK comes out with Luna. This, I'm going to tell you guys right now, look at me. This match will surprise you. I don't ever remember Tatanka being a good wrestler.
Right.
And this is early Shawn Michaels before he was, before he was Mr. WrestleMania. This match is so good. It has you on the edge of your seat. Near fall, near fall, near fall, near fall. In the ring, out the ring, in the ring, out the ring. The only thing that sucks about it is that it it was a DQ or a count out. You know, Tatanka ended up winning because he had the streak, but they didn't want to take the title off HBK because obviously he was going to be their next guy in line. You know, Bret Hart, then HBK. Dude, this match was, I mean, obviously, what do I have it at? Number five?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, this match was good. It was so good. You guys got to go back and watch it. I totally forgot about this match because everybody forgets about WrestleMania 9,
right?
You know, the world's largest toga party at the Palace at Caesars in Vegas. And then nobody wants to watch this. But that match was great. And I was even talking to my wife while I was watching earlier. And I go, do you think he's really Native American, honey? Look how he's, and because he starts doing the like,
that little,
like the dance, you know, like your stereotypical, you know, Native American war dance, if you will. And I'm like, she's like, oh, honey, that was the 90s. They could do that back then, but you can't do it. And then she was like, but you can't do that shit now. And I was like, I know.
Yeah, because they call them indigenous people.
Yeah, well, look at what was going on at that time. Big boss man with the Confederate flag on his shirt. Tatanka doing an Indian dance. Yeah. You got the Gonzalez guy that came out and wrestled Undertaker. And it's like, what is going on here, dude, with all these racial stereotypes? And she was dead on with it,
because no one said anything at that time, dude. It wasn't in the forefront of what political shit people were, and you know, what you can say and what you can't say. That kind of stuff. I mean, look back when you're talking about WrestleMania 2 and 3, when Adrian Adonis came out. He came out very flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
Perfume, pink, fluffy this, fluffy that. But no one said the word gay.
Yeah.
He came out, they said flamboyant.
Yes.
They said this. They never said the word gay in any of wrestle other than this is the first wrestler that came out to openly gay. No one cared.
Yeah.
I mean, I think more recently they said, oh, this wrestler is gay. Okay. Yeah. Big deal. Like, not in a sense big deal, but okay, well, shut up and wrestle. That's how I look at it. It was like, I don't care what you do behind closed doors, but when you're wrestling, wrestle. Let me see you wrestle.
Just wrestle.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to go?
I like that, Chris. That was a good one. That's another match I'm going to have to go back and double check on that one because it didn't hit me because of the names of the wrestler, like Shawn, of course, and Tatanka. I didn't think of it, but as a match,
maybe next time you should actually go back and watch all the matches so you can make a good list.
We said 10.
I know, but you got to watch them all to make a top 10. So this is the real top 10 list, guys. All right, let's go. We are going to have the same number 2 and the same number 1. Are they in the same order? Wait till next week, guys, until we divulge. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to tell you right now. Number 2 for me is WrestleMania 10. Razor Ramon, Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, ladder match for the Intercontinental title.
My number 2 is the Honky Tonk Man versus Brutus Beefcake Man, WrestleMania 4. Just kidding, man. Of course I had WrestleMania 10, the ladder match with Shawn and Razor. That was a definitive move in the ladder match, and that started a lot of these guys, and a lot of these guys still today want to do ladder matches in that sense because, you know, Chris, there was one ladder. There wasn't on the ladder match, oh, now everybody has a ladder. There's 8 ladders. There's 12 ladders. There's 24 ladders. No, there was one. They used it. They abused it, and they did the best they can to it. And, man, it was on the edge of a seat. Do you got it? Do you don't got it? Do you got it? Do you don't got it? And Razor won it, and it was freaking awesome, man.
It was two of the all-time greats. It was really, when you look at it, to me, not only a pivotal time in both of their careers, it really kind of catapulted both of them to the stratosphere. It catapulted the gimmick title match, like a ladder match, to the stratosphere. But it also showed for both of these guys how great a wrestlers there were. I mean, damn, dude. They basically made the ladder look good.
Yeah.
These guys basically wrestled a three-person match.
Yeah, exactly.
Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, and the goddamn ladder. And that ladder played just as much as a part in the match. And nothing ever looked forced. Nothing ever looked hokey. Nothing ever looked like, yeah, right. It was like, oh, fuck. That's, I don't know how many times I said it rewatching that match. Oh, shit. And I remember that was one when I was younger, you know, living out in the woods. I didn't get to watch WrestleManias. But that was probably the first one of the first WrestleManias I watched actually live. And I got to see it. So I remember watching that match, and I was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
Did you watch it at your grandma's house?
No. We did our high school soccer team. I said, we need to do a team building activity. WrestleMania. Coach's house. Let's go. So we got it. You had to rent the box. Remember the box you had to rent?
That's cool.
Remember, Coach Leeper. We went to his house. We had the box rented. We got food. We got all this stuff. And the team all came. We watched WrestleMania 10.
Did the cheerleaders come?
They're not cheerleaders in soccer.
How do you know, man?
No, we didn't. And I remember, you know, that had the Owen Hart, Bret Hart opener. Yeah. It had the Bret Hart, Yokozuna. It just, underrated WrestleMania. It was a pretty good one. Yeah. I thought those matches were good. All right. What's our number one? Go ahead.
WrestleMania 3. We kind of always talk about it. Ricky Steamboat versus the champion Macho Man Randy Savage with the beautiful Elizabeth right at his side.
You're so excited, dude. You're stumbling. This for me, and I think for Greg also, this is my favorite match of all time.
Yeah,
this is the prototype. This is how you win over a crowd. This is how you, I mean, as big as Andre and Hogan was, I mean, I know it didn't, I don't think it followed that match. I could look it up quick. I will.
No, a couple of matches were in between.
But how do you follow that?
That
was the first time. I mean, they always talk about what, I can equate it in this fact. Remember when Hogan and The Rock wrestled, I think it was at 18.
Yeah.
How they exhausted that crowd. And I can't remember who wrestled after it. Was it Jericho, I think? I don't remember who wrestled after it. No, Jericho, they opened that one. I can't remember who wrestled after them. But it was like the crowd was exhausted. That's the kind that this was the first time I saw that happen was Macho Man and Steamboat. They exhausted that crowd. The match was so good. So many near falls. So many high spots. The drama leading up with the shattered larynx of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the shattered larynx, you know, Macho Man being the bad guy with beautiful Elizabeth, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the family man, the little dragon, coming out with George Animal Steel on his side.
Right, right.
Savage going to grab the ring bell again to smash his throat again. Is he going to do it? And then the commentary of Gorilla Monsoon and the Body Ventura just... That was like, I'm not saying that made the match, but that gave it the little extra oomph because you had two polar opposite views on the match where Gorilla is this total face and Jesse is this total heel. And they are that team that just is so underrated. No one ever talks about that, they were so good. They made that WrestleMania so much greater than maybe it actually was. If you go back and look at it, some of the matches are kind of like, really, we're going to do a mixed midget match here, dude? Right. Really? Are we really doing this, dude? They made it great. And that match, greatest match of all time. And you may not agree with us, but if it's not at least worst in your top five, you would say top three. You just gave me the three sign, but what are you doing? Are you even a wrestling fan?
Are you a wrestling fan? Yeah, and I agree with you, man, 100%. You said everything that I wanted to say of how I felt, how it was good, how it just, you know, and they weren't heavyweights, so they're not brawling, but they wrestled high point, low point. And didn't we find out years later on, Macho scripted the whole damn thing?
Dude, he is the most.
And that was one of those things like, Jesus Christ, you script out close to every move for, 45, 50 minutes of that match? Jesus Christ, dude, that was fucking rocking. So, yeah.
How
much can we say about WrestleMania 3, dude?
I totally forgot what I was going to say. I was looking something up here.
Because WrestleMania 3 is the greatest.
Oh, yeah, what you were saying about Macho Man. That's what he did. He scripted out his matches. He was meticulous. And my favorite moment in that match is? My favorite moment in that match is when Macho Man goes running at Steamboat and he flips him over the top rope. And it's just like, and he looks like he's holding onto that rope and he just goes over the top like that. And I'm like, well, first time I saw it, I go, he's dead. He's fucking dead. Those mats are like, what, like this? And they're that hard. Remember in gymnastics when you were in high school?
Yeah.
That hard tumbling mat? You're like, God damn, dude, my back hurt. I thought he was dead. Of course, I was a kid. What was I, like 7, 8 years old?
Right.
Maybe 10. I don't know. 80, what was that, 87? So I was like 11 years old. Yeah, man. Greatest match of all time. I love it. People still talk about it today. Greatest intercontinental match easily in WrestleMania history of all time. My favorite match of all time. What I think is the greatest match of all time.
Let me ask you this. Standard with me and you when we talk about wrestling.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? I know it's coming up this weekend. Anything you want to talk about? WrestleMania coming up, 2-night event. Anything you want to talk about? The matches, anything you like?
Yeah.
Predictions?
No predictions because I kind of want to be surprised. I am now excited about this Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, and now they have CM Punk on commentary. Because CM Punk is not in good terms with Drew and not in good terms with Seth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They had commentary over the last, I think it was SmackDown or Raw, and it started off like anger. Now there's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Mm. The six-man tag team.
Hold on a second. Rambo wants us to join him for a beer, so let's hurry it up,
right,
baby.
Man. And I love the storyline with the Bloodline, with The Rock, with the Bloodline, with Cody and stuff like that, dude. To be honest, I hope it finishes story. There are some scenarios which I think are going to happen, and I'm usually wrong, but there's a lot of good stuff coming up.
I'm always wrong. Because I always come up with better stories than what they're going to do. I will go on record again saying I'm tired of seeing The Rock. I'm tired of seeing these old time. He's not an old timer, but I'm tired of seeing these guys come back. I really think they're stealing a lot of the what I think that some of these young guys need to learn to accomplish on themselves. If you keep bringing someone in to bring people in, you're never going. These guys are never going to learn how to bring people in. And I think that's part of it. And
that was my argument when I always thought they brought Shane in. Shane came around the WrestleManias and he didn't have a big match, but he wasn't wrestling 365 days out of the year. He wrestled 3 months, 4 months out of the year and into WrestleMania.
But you know what? No one ever saw Shane as like The Rock, Stone Cold, Ric Flair, Mick Foley. These guys are legit lifetime wrestling career.
But
I never saw Shane McMahon as
Shane
a guy you brought in to bring people to the pay-per-view.
But he was stealing who those guys who put in 365 days out of the year.
Yeah, but
he was stealing that slot away. That's what I thought.
Maybe they need to work on. Maybe we need to go in there and do the storyline too.
We do.
WWF E. Sorry, if you need us to come in there and write your storyline for you, we'll do it. Well, okay,
and we'll be commentary,
music videos, wrestling story. Let me just say it one more time. We talked about it today. Last WrestleMania last year, The Rock should have won the Royal Rumble, should have went to WrestleMania and lost to Roman Reigns to legitimize him as the head of the table. I said it last year. Should have happened. It would have been the best. We could have moved on. The Rock would be gone. He wouldn't be back again this year. Go away. That's it, dude. That's all I got to say. I got one more thing I want to say. You can see us on YouTube and Facebook, The Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. You know how many G's we got going on there? 3, 1 in the front, 2 in the back. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at BigTalkCG.podcast. This is Big Talk is Jericho.
Yeah, you want to bring us out then?
Oh, yeah, dude. Let's do some music.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Thanks, guys. All right. This is for Rambo because he's sexy. I know I'm sexy. This is Greg from the Big Talk Podcast with Chris and Greg. Don't forget to watch WrestleMania 40. We're going to be live. We're going to be watching it together, barbecuing, drinking, having a good time, yelling and screaming like we always do. And we're going to see ya. Take care, folks. Woo! Take care, nation. That's right. Get weak whenever I'm around. They see me walk.